So, Father, we want to come to you this morning, Lord, and we want to ask your blessing on this service. Lord, we are indeed thankful for everything you've done for us, Lord, and not just this week when we celebrate Thanksgiving, but in all times. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your forgiveness and your mercy and your love. And Father, I just ask that you would just give me an anointing right now, Lord, to be able to preach this message, Lord, that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart for your people, Lord. Help me to deliver it in such a way that they'll get the word that you have for them. They'll get the message that you have for them, Lord. And every one of us will leave here today changed, Lord. Help us to accept the challenge. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story from Ernest Gordon's book, Miracle on the River Kwai. Now, you may have seen or heard of the movie Bridge Over the River Kwai. Okay? The film portrayed the brutal treatment of prisoners of war forced by the Japanese to construct a railroad through the Thai jungle. Now, I read a little bit about this, and these men had little to wear but a loincloth. They were in their bare feet. Their feet were cut on the rocks. Can you imagine building a railroad in your bare feet? And they were often beaten severely. They weren't given much to eat. It was horrible. The soldiers, again, were forced by their Japanese captors to labor in the jungle railroad. And because of this treatment, they had degenerated to barbarous behavior toward one another. It affected them in that way. But one afternoon, something happened. A shovel was missing. The officer in charge became enraged. He demanded that the missing shovel be produced or else he would kill everyone. When no one in the squadron budged, the officer got his gun, went to the first man in line, put it to his head, and was ready to start killing each and every one of them. It was obvious that he meant what he said. But as he was about to shoot the first man in line, one man stepped forward and said, "I did it." The officer put away his gun and proceeded to beat the man to death. Even after his body had fallen, he continued kicking him and beating him. When it was over, the survivors picked up the corpse and carried it with them to the second tool check. This time, at the tool check, no shovel was missing. There had been a miscount. It was a mistake. The word spread like wildfire through the whole camp that an innocent man had been willing to die to save the others. This incident had a profound effect. The men began to treat each other as brothers, and they were able to survive. They were looking out for one another. And it says that one man, remember the verse in the Bible where it says, you know, no greater love has any man that he lays his life down for his friends. The man that stepped forward didn't do it. But he stepped forward so that, you know, everyone else wouldn't be killed. When the Allies victoriously swept in, the survivors were rescued. They were but human skeletons. And they were lined up in front of their captors. They let these men who had been abused and mistreated face the people that had done that to them. Did they attack them? No. Did they spit in their face? No. Did they curse them? No. Instead, they walked up and said, "No more hatred, no more killing. Now, what we need is forgiveness." Can you imagine that? Now, that's what I want to preach this morning is about forgiveness. I don't have a Thanksgiving-themed sermon because I want to preach what the Lord gave me. But I can tell you the thing that I'm most thankful for is forgiveness. Anyone else?
Amen.
About a month ago, I was teaching a lesson on forgiveness in Sunday school, and at that time, the Lord laid it on my heart to preach on the subject. How many have been forgiven? Just a little? Or much? If you're like me, it is so much that I cannot understand that there could possibly be that much grace. Anyone else?
Amen.
One song that I like says, "How could you love me and still have any left?" Right? Can you relate with that?
Yeah.
How can you love me? So how many have needed forgiveness even after you were saved?
All right.
This year? This month? This week? Better than that. Today?
Yep.
How many? Yeah. We need forgiveness. And aren't you thankful for the grace of God, whose mercy, hallelujah, is new every morning? The truth of the matter is that we need forgiveness. Come on. Sometimes we are not as we should be. Okay, this is going to get a little tough. Okay? But I'm going to give you what the Lord gave me. Okay? You with me? All right. You look scared. Sometimes we're not as we should be. Even as Christians, we fail. But the Scripture tells us the good news is that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And I want to tell you this morning that no matter what you've done, you have either been forgiven or you can be forgiven. Hallelujah. Romans 5:20 says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." How could you love me, Lord, and have any left? Because where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. I'm so thankful for that. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, I want to tell you, you can be forgiven. I don't care. God doesn't care. It doesn't matter what you've done. He'll wash it away. He'll wash it clean. He'll make it as though you've never sinned. The Bible says He'll wash us that will be white as snow. Pure. And when He forgives you, He forgets about it. It's done. So if you're here this morning, you've never been saved, it's very simple. You repent of your sin. That means you tell God, "I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm sorry for my sin." The Bible says godly sorrow. And we should have godly sorrow for the sins that we've committed. And all have sinned. All. And fall short of the glory of God. But if you'll repent with godly sorrow and ask Him to forgive you and to wash your sins away, He will do it. Give me an amen, everybody that knows it.
Amen.
Amen. You know, and I just want to encourage you, again, if you're not saved, you just pray that to the Lord. There's no prayer that you could find in a book or on a piece of paper. It's just talking to God in your own way. You don't have to repeat after someone. There's no formula. You repent and believe. Ask Him to forgive you and make Him the Lord, the King of your life, and then live for Him.
Amen.
It's that simple. You can be forgiven. And that goes for all of us. Because you heard everyone here. You know, this year, this month, this week, today, we've sinned. Now, we don't make light of sin. You know, talking about grace abounding more than sin, Paul goes on to say, what should we say then? You know, because grace abounds, should we continue in sin? God forbid. So you don't do that. We don't take it lightly. But we're thankful that forgiveness is there when we need it. Praise the Lord. So I want to ask you again this morning, have you been forgiven much?
Yeah.
Come on, get his hands up. Let's be interactive. Much. And thank God that He had enough grace to forgive me. All right, so now the big question. Are you ready? Everybody's ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
How can we possibly fail to forgive others when we have been forgiven so much? Now that is a hard question. But if we put it in its proper perspective, it should help us to see how things really are. So like I said, I'm going to talk to you this morning about forgiveness. And I believe that it is a needed message, because I know that there are people that have a problem with forgiveness. And it's a very, very serious issue, and you'll see that soon. Many people, Christian people, have a problem with forgiveness. And if we're honest, most of the things that we refuse to forgive others are fairly small offenses. Petty differences, disagreements, minor offenses, and on and on. Now, not every circumstance, I know that. There have been, I don't want you to think that I'm not sensitive. You know, I know there are people here who have had terrible, terrible things done to them in their lives. I'm one of them. Okay? I understand. I've been there. I know. So I'm not making light of that. Please hear me and understand me. But again, if we're honest, a lot of times when we don't have forgiveness to someone, it's over something pretty small. Okay? Petty little things. And again, I'm not dismissing, you know, those big things. Those things that really affect your life and really affected my life. Okay? I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to be insensitive to that, so please don't take it that way. I don't want anybody to be upset with me, and if you are, you have to forgive me anyway. But the offense is that we are, you know, hold against people when we refuse to forgive them, and we're going to go deeper into that, what that means to forgive them, you know, a lot of times are pretty small things, especially compared with what those soldiers went through. Amen? I mean, think about that. And that's nothing compared to what we have done to God. But it really doesn't matter how small, it really doesn't matter how big the offense. Hear me now. Forgiveness is necessary.
Absolutely.
Forgiveness is not optional. And you'll see how deep that goes. There's an abundance of scriptures that show us the absolute necessity. Did you hear that? Necessity to forgive others. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, my main text. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Could it be any more clear? Could it be any more direct and to the point? I mean, there it is. Did I read it right? There it is. If you will not forgive, you cannot be forgiven. Wow. It's plain, it's clear, it's direct. No interpretation is needed. We don't need a theologian to explain it to us. It's right there. And yet, we still will not forgive. We refuse. How can this be? How can this be? How can it possibly be that way? But yet, it's something we see a lot. But not from anybody here, right? Right? Yeah, you just listen to it. You can go share it with people that are guilty. How can we, who have been forgiven so much, refuse to forgive others? And, you know, once again, I'm not making light of people who have had terrible things done to them. People who have been abused, people who have been abandoned, people who have been assaulted, people who have been sexually molested. I'm not making light of that. Okay? I just want to make that clear. I don't want anyone to be upset with me and think that I'm insensitive about it, because I've lived it. I know. I've lived it. And many of you have too. These things hurt. They go deep. Big things and little things. They go deep. They affect us. Sometimes for the rest of our lives. And I know that very well. Okay? And I know that it's easy to say, you have to forgive. It's easy to say and not so easily done. But is it necessary?
Amen.
It's not an easy thing. Forgiveness is a hard thing. It's a very hard thing. And it's something that we can only do through the Lord, I believe. Because it's not in us. I can tell you right now, it's not in me to forgive. No. It's not in my nature. I come from a family line of people who do not forgive. They don't. I saw my grandfather and his brother go to their graves, not speaking to each other for like 20 years. And I think the argument was over a grave. Brothers. They would not forgive. I don't even know what the issue was. They probably don't even know what the issue, didn't know what the issue was. But they held that bitterness and didn't speak to each other until their death. They never did. And my mother and her sister were the same way. But thank God, my Aunt Janet came to my mother when she was dying of cancer. And they were reconciled. But that's the kind of family history that I have. That's what I've learned in coming up. So it's not in my nature to forgive. We have to be careful of this bitterness, that it doesn't take root in us, because it'll mess you up. And more important than that, you won't be forgiven. It's what it says. Did I read it right? There it is in black and white, or maybe red and white in your Bible. But there it is. Penny, you work with lawyers. Is there any way around that? You think they could dance around that and twist that? I don't think so. If you forgive, you will be forgiven. Jesus says, well, let me even make it a little more clear. If you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. And again, you know, for the most part, these things are over. Silly things. Little things. But that root of bitterness runs deep. And if you let it get a hold of you, it's very hard to let get out. It's very hard. It's very hard. You know, but by the grace of God, like I said, it's not in me. I'm not a forgiving person. Through Jesus I am. But it's not my nature. And it's probably not your nature either. So what can we do? It's a hard thing. It's one of the hardest things we ever have to do. Again, through the Lord, it can be done. Give me an amen.
Amen.
But we must be willing. Okay? Willing to say, not my will, which is bitterness and disagreement and separation. Not my will, but your will be done, which is what? Forgiveness, love, reconciliation. Praise the Lord. We have to be willing. God is not going to force you to do this. You make a decision. Do I want to be forgiven? How many want to be forgiven? Yeah, you make a decision. I want to be forgiven, so I'm going to do whatever it takes. Now, forgiveness is free. Salvation is free. But you can't be forgiven if you won't forgive. It's right there. I don't think we can argue with that. It's right there. And it is the Lord's will, not my will, but yours be done. It's the Lord's will that we forgive no matter what has been done to us. So I want to look at this text a little more. It is a powerful scripture with a clear mandate, and it is one that should change our lives. You know, I believe the Lord gives us messages for a reason. Do you agree with that? You know, maybe you're the reason, maybe you're not. But if you are, listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. So again, he said in Matthew 6:14-15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." As with any scripture passage, we need to look at the context. Okay? Interestingly, this passage, this saying of that Jesus said, comes right after the Lord teaching the disciples how to pray. The Lord's Prayer. I never made this connection before, and you probably didn't either. We get to the Amen in the Lord's Prayer, and we think, all right, it's on to another subject. Right? It's on to another subject. You know, he got the Amen, he taught us how to pray, that's it. But we have to look at the first word in verse 14. The word for, F-O-R. This is a connecting word. It connects this verse with the previous verses. Jesus wasn't finished teaching when he said Amen in the model prayer in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus was explaining what he had said in the prayer. Okay, teaches us how to pray, gives them the example, says Amen, and then says for, connects it. He was explaining what he had said, and that was that forgiveness was conditional. What? What do you mean it's conditional? That doesn't sound right, does it? We're looking right at the scripture. It's right there. It's clear. Now, what did he say? When did he say that? Let's go to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, verse 12. He says, and you all know it, you could quote it, I'm sure, "And forgive us our debts," our sins, our transgressions. Forgive us our debts. What's the next word? Oh. As we forgive our debtors. Wow. Forgive us our debts, Lord, as we forgive our debtors. Now, we all want forgiveness, right? But are we willing to forgive others? Do we ask and expect God to forgive an unforgiving heart? Think about that. Are you asking God to forgive an unforgiving heart? Are we saying, God, forgive me, but I'm not willing to forgive others? Can you imagine praying that? Anybody here ever prayed that? God, forgive me, but I'm not going to forgive others. Is there a loophole? Is there some way around it? Is there some way that I can be forgiven and not have to forgive those who have wronged me? Let's look at the scripture. Verse 14, we have a promise. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." That's a promise. If we'll do that, that's a promise. And in verse 15, of course, we have the warning. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Yeah, I don't see any way around it. Do you? It is what it is. And we don't talk about that very often, do we? But it is conditional. I don't see, you know, I don't know about your Bible, but I don't see an asterisk. I don't see a footnote. I don't see a disclaimer. I don't see a contingency. I sound like a lawyer, don't I, Penny? Huh? I don't see a contingency. I don't see except. Right? If you forgive others, except if they did something really, really bad. No, I don't see it. I don't see an addendum. And you know what that all adds up to? No excuses. No excuses. Nothing gets us out of it. If we want to be forgiven, we must forgive. Probably everyone here has asked for forgiveness many times. But do we do it the way the Lord taught us in the Lord's Prayer? Again, there's no formula, but this was His example to teach us how to pray. And do when we ask for forgiveness, do we say, "Lord, forgive me of my sin as I forgive others"? Whew. How many's willing to pray that? "Lord, forgive me of my sin as I forgive others." I'm thinking that if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, we're not going to pray like that. If we're not willing to forgive, we're not going to pray and ask God to forgive us equal or in the same way that we forgive others. That one really made me think. Is it making you think? You know, "Lord, forgive me as I forgive others." But that's what it says. That's what Jesus taught when He taught us how to pray. "Lord, forgive me as I forgive others." It's necessary. So I don't know about you, but praying, "Lord, forgive me as I forgive others," I need more grace than that. Anybody else? Oh, I need much more grace from God than I'm willing to give to someone else. I need more grace than that. I would not pray that in that way, and yet that's the way the Lord taught us to pray because He was teaching us about forgiveness. So we could say that about a lot of things. When we're praying, would we ask, "Lord, bless me"? How many want the Lord to bless you? All right, would you pray, "Lord, bless me the same way I have blessed others"? Oh. "Lord, be faithful to me in the way that I've been faithful to others." How about, "Lord, love me the way I love others"? "Care for me, Lord, the way I have cared for others." Wow. We cannot even come close to God's blessings, His love, His faithfulness, His care for others. We can't come close in our best effort. No matter how much we grow in the Lord, we can never compare to God's perfection and abundance in these things. How many know the Lord has an abundance of mercy and love? Anyone here have an abundance of mercy and love? No, we can't compare. In fact, we could say that these things, love, blessings, faithfulness, care, things like that, have different amounts. I hope that makes sense to you. You know, we can have love. How many have love? How many could be more loving? Yeah, see, you know, you got this much love maybe, and you want to have this much love. Okay? And our love compared to God's love, you can't even see it. My fingers don't go that close together. Right? So you know, love and faithfulness and care. How many care about people? How many say, "I could be more caring about people"? Yeah. I could do more to help people. I could go, you know, visit them in a hospital. I could call them more. It's not that you don't care. Okay, and you know, that's a thing that causes unforgiveness sometimes with church people, is people thinking that you don't care. And they get mad at it, they get upset because they feel like you don't care. But the fact of the matter is, you do care, you just didn't happen to make it to the hospital to visit them that time. Okay? And that's not making excuses, that's reality. Okay? But we need to, you know, be careful that we are caring for one another so that that doesn't happen. But, you know, it could be a misconception that, you know, "Sister Nolan didn't call me last week and I was having a rough time, so she doesn't care for me. Why didn't you call me?" Because you didn't know. I've seen that happen before. Nobody came to visit me. Nobody knew. You got to let people know what's going on so we can care for you. Okay? So it could be a misconception, you know, that others don't care. But there's different amounts of care. You know, we can care, but everyone raised their hand. We can care more. So these things are measurable. But I want to submit to you this morning, again, no one has greater love than God. No greater forgiveness, any of, or greater care, any of that. But what about forgiveness? Are there different amounts of forgiveness?
No.
You see it? You're either forgiving or you're not. Right? You're either forgiven by God or you're not. And you know, the people we're talking about, people that need your forgiveness, you either forgive them or you don't. And we're going to get to an example of that later on that I want to tell you about. So forgiveness is all or nothing. You may have forgiven since you were saved. You may have forgiven 100 people. You may have forgiven 1,000 people. But if there's just one, that one, maybe right now you're thinking about that one. You better think about it. But you refuse to forgive. Guess what? That's all it takes. Just one out of 1,000, out of 1,000,000, out of everybody in the earth. Just one. And you have unforgiveness. That's not a very nice word, is it? Unforgiveness. It's interesting. When I was typing my sermon notes out, my word processor kept underlining unforgiveness like it was. And I click on it. Like I thought I spelled it wrong. And it had no suggestions. I'm like, is that a word? I'm like, I know it's a word. Unforgiveness is a word. And so I looked it up on Webster's, man. And guess what? It's a word that's in the premium dictionary. Yeah, so I'm giving you the good stuff this morning. I'm giving you the premium words with no extra charge. Okay, so unforgiveness, you're going to hear that a lot, is a word. Okay, so you English majors, don't be hating. But it only takes one and you have unforgiveness. And how many know if you have unforgiveness, guess what? You don't qualify for forgiveness. How many here want God to forgive you of 99.9999999999% of your sins?
All or nothing.
All or nothing. We need 100%. And we're not going to make it. Amen? We know that we've sinned. We know we need forgiveness. And Jesus said, if you forgive, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. Notice that the need for forgiveness here is implied. He didn't say, if you need forgiveness, He'll forgive you. No, He said, yeah, you forgive and God will forgive you. He knew we needed forgiveness. How many needed forgiveness? Amen? We all need it. And even as mature Christians, sometimes we fall short. You like that? Sometimes we fall short. Little sugarcoating there. Oh, I fell short. I made a mistake. Nah. We don't fall short. We outright fail. We outright sin. Shout, shout. And we need forgiveness. Isn't it funny how we like to sugarcoat that? And, well, you know, I fell short. I made a mistake. I messed up. No, you sinned. All right? Is that direct to the point? And if that makes you mad, you have to forgive me. You have to. We outright sin and we need forgiveness, and that puts us in a difficult position. We need forgiveness, and we have a great promise. How many know God always keeps His promises? And we have a great promise. He said, if you will forgive, then you can be forgiven. It's free. And like I said earlier, He'll wash away all your sins. Your Heavenly Father will forgive you, and there's nothing better than that. There's nothing I'm more thankful for. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for my pastor. I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for my food. I'm thankful that I can breathe. I'm thankful that I can get up and walk. But there's nothing that I'm more thankful than forgiveness. Because without that, I'm going to hell. I have sinned against a holy God. I am a wretched sinner. And I am worthy of hell. But Jesus came and died for me so that I could be forgiven if I will forgive others. There's nothing better than forgiveness. Amen? Forgiveness means to be free from guilt and condemnation.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Free from guilt and condemnation.
Hallelujah.
Wow, just Al, huh? No reaction from anybody else. My goodness. It means to be absolved from your sin, to be accepted and restored by God. Praise the Lord! And the only way this is possible, I think you get it by now, the only way we can be forgiven is what?
To forgive
others. Next, I want to talk about, how many are convinced you got to forgive others to be forgiven? Have I beaten that horse enough? How many are convinced? Come on. Okay, everybody's there. Now, let's move on. What does it mean to forgive others? You just have to say it, right? Huh? I said, Lord, I forgive that person. No, to truly forgive means to no longer be judgmental. Hold on. No longer be bitter. No longer be hostile toward that person. No longer to hold hard feelings toward them. Means not to shut them out or ignore them. Don't talk about them. Don't gossip about them. Don't spread rumors about them. Don't plan revenge against them. Here's a big one. Don't rejoice when something bad happens to them. Yeah, they'll get there someday. Ever heard that one? I used to work with a guy, and he didn't like another guy. And he stood there, he said something, and it literally made my jaw drop. And I've heard a lot of stuff in my life. He said, yeah, the best thing that can happen to Joe is he wraps his car around a tree on the way home. I was like, whoa! Hateful. Or, they had it coming. Uh-oh, have you ever done that? Don't raise your hand. Yes! They had it coming. They got what they deserved. That's rejoicing when other people... Bad things happen to people, and these are people that you haven't forgiven. Otherwise, you would not be rejoicing when bad things happen to them. All right, it's hard stuff, isn't it? Hard stuff, right?
Yes.
It ain't nothing. Are you ready for the hard one? How many's with me? You ready for the hard one? Can you take it?
Yes.
Not only do you have to forgive them and all that stuff I told you that forgiveness means... But you have to love them. What?
All right.
And what is love? I didn't hear what you said, but I forgive you, brother, for interrupting me.
You got to.
And that's what I said. I forgive you for interrupting me. That's all right. I didn't even hear what you said.
I want to see the action.
Oh, that's my next. Now, you look at my next. Remember, love is what kind of word? Action word. Don't you love it when someone says, I love you, but if they didn't say it, you wouldn't know it? No. Love's an action word. We like it. How many like it when people love us? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can't just say it. You have to do it. Now, remember, we're talking about people that need our forgiveness. And we don't only have to forgive them, we have to love them. What? Now let's put that into perspective too. I'm not kidding, Sister Noah. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Hang in there. You got a seatbelt on that chair? Hang in there. Now let's put that into perspective too. Love them. That means we have to treat them the way that we want God to treat us. We can't say, I forgive them, but I'm not going to talk to them. I've said that. You'll hear the rest of that story in a little while. So we can't say, I forgive them, I'm not going to talk to them. I've heard that many times. And I said, including from me. That is not true forgiveness. It's not. You actually have to love them. But it's amazing. Now we're talking about an action. You're going to have to get around somebody if you're going to love them. All right? It's amazing what love can do. You can be enemies with someone, and love can change everything. And I've often said to people who are in turmoil, having trouble in their life, someone has to step up and be the Christian. You're at odds with somebody? I don't care whose fault it is. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Doesn't matter. You know, we're talking about forgiveness. More often than not, it means that they did something. It's their fault. You know what? Doesn't matter that it's their fault. So you're at odds with somebody? Someone has to step up and be the Christian.
All right.
It's not optional. This is the way we are to live. And it's amazing what love can do. What do I mean by that? Love and forgiveness are Christian mandates. We are commanded to love and forgive. So what does a Christian do with the commands of God? Does them. Right? God commands it. We obey it. We do what He says. So someone has to step up and be the Christian in the situation and make the first move toward reconciliation. Again, it doesn't matter if it's their fault or it's your fault. Doesn't matter. And we're talking about you being done wrong. You got to forgive them. Doesn't matter what they did. You have to forgive them. Well, what if they won't forgive me? Heard that before. Doesn't matter. That's between them and God. You cannot make reconciliation happen. Okay? You cannot make reconciliation happen, but you can step up and do your part. And guess what? Then you can watch God do His part, and you'd be amazed at the results.
Amen.
There are a lot of people who could testify to having one of the strongest, most loving relationships after forgiveness takes place.
Amen.
And after someone went to someone else and did it. You just watch God do His part. And I'll give you an example. When I first got saved, I was working in commercial construction, building schools and office buildings and things like that. And I honestly don't know why, but there was this guy who was a welder named Gus. And I don't know why, but Gus hated me. I mean, cussed at me all the time, sneered. I don't know what I did to the guy. I probably did something stupid or something rotten. That's the way I was back then. But, you know, before I got saved. This was a little bit after I got saved. But he hated me, man. He hated me. And so one day I'm working, and, you know, I must have been doing some Bible study or something like that where it says about giving a cold drink of water to your enemies. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, I guess, whispered to me, and I said, huh. I went and bought him a Pepsi. Ice cold Pepsi. It was real hot. He was working in the boiler room up in the ceiling. It was like, you know, probably 150 degrees up there. He's welding. He's got all this leather clothing on for protection. So I just walked in the room. Guy hates me. I just walk in the room. I said, hey, Gus. Got you a Pepsi, man. Don't worry. I didn't poison her or nothing. It's not open. That's what I said. And I set it down. And I left. And you know, he was as nice to me from then on. It was unbelievable. Somebody took the first step. Let God do the rest. Amen? Praise God. But, you know, what if they don't forgive me? If they don't forgive, you leave that to God and you pray that they repent of that sin. Because that's what it really is. Unforgiveness is sin. It's interesting that we want forgiveness, but we don't want to forgive. In other words, we don't want to give up all of our sins. Get that now. We want to hold on to that one. If you've got unforgiveness, if there's anyone in your life, no matter what they've done to you, if you refuse to forgive them, you're holding on to a sin. It's like saying, I want God to forgive me, but I'm not going to give up all my sin. Does that work? It's like saying, can you imagine, Pastor Lay, you give an altar call, and someone comes up to the altar to get saved, and they tell you, say, I want God to forgive me, but I ain't giving up adultery. I'm holding on to that one. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But it's the same way with unforgiveness. You know, I want to be saved. I want God to forgive all my sins. But I'm going to keep on robbing banks. I've got to make a living. God, I want you to forgive all my sins, but I'm going to keep on lying. After all, I'm a politician. You'll get that. You'll get that on the way home. What would you tell someone like that? If you were witnessing to them, what would you tell someone who said that? I don't want to give up all my sin. You tell me it doesn't work that way. You can't do it. Sin is sin and unforgiveness is sin. It's not a matter of saying as a Christian you really should forgive. It's necessary if you want to be forgiven. We cannot come to the Lord and receive forgiveness and think that we can hold on to that sin or any sin. Amen? It's sin. But 1 John 1:9 says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many are thankful for that?
Yes.
He will forgive you, but you cannot continue in that sin. Amen? God forgives us. He forgets our sin. I'm so thankful for that. He's reconciled us, and we are no longer under His wrath. How can we give any less to those who have wronged us? I don't have time to read it, but this very thing was in the parable about a man who was forgiven a great debt. You remember that?
Yeah.
The king forgave him a great debt. It was more than he could ever pay. And yet he went out and would not forgive a man who owed him just a little. And that's what it is. But they've done me wrong, you might say. They've done me wrong. Haven't we done God wrong?
Yeah.
And been forgiven much? But fair enough. Okay, they've done you wrong. Let's see what Jesus says about that. But I say to you, hate your enemies. Curse back those who curse you. Do evil to those who hate you and badmouth those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, man, these modern translations. Let me try that again. Try a different translation here. But I say to you, love those who love you. Bless those who bless you. Do good to those who are good to you. And pray for those who pray for you. Can I get an amen? Better not. All right, what's it really say? But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good. Ooh. Do good. I'm stumbling on that one. Anybody else? Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Wait a minute. Who is Jesus telling us to love? Our enemies. To bless who? Those who curse you. To do good to who? Those who hate you. To pray for who? Those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Those are some bad people. Cursing us, hating us, persecuting us. And we have to love them? Again, action words. Love. Bless. Not just saying you forgive. Love, bless, do good, and pray for them. So, you know, when you look at it, who's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about some rotten, nasty, downright wicked people.
Every one of us.
Every one of us. And that includes people who have done you wrong. People who curse you. And He's saying we have to love them and do good to them. It puts it into perspective. Okay, these are rotten, nasty, wicked people. Puts it into perspective, our reaction of being offended, this might offend you, by the way, being offended and unforgiving to someone who forgot your birthday. And we laugh, but it happens. It happens. There are people that don't speak to each other because somebody forgot their birthday. Or someone seemingly snubbed you.
February the 4th.
Now, how many people here shake everybody's hands in this congregation on a Sunday afternoon when I'm finally done preaching and you get to go home?
I'll forgive you.
You shake everybody's hand? Anybody? No, but if we can't get to everybody. And you know, if we're not careful, if someone doesn't shake our hand, we can get offended by that. Now, John Early, you didn't shake my hand last week. Yeah, that hurt my heart, brother. But you know, I could take that as saying, "Huh, he doesn't like me. He doesn't care about me. He snubbed me." So you know, we get upset over these things, and again, we laugh. But this happens. Or you know, someone you know snubbed you seemingly, or didn't shake your hand, or let their dog use your yard for a bathroom, Lizzie. Or they cheated at Monopoly when you were 11.
Oh, there you go.
It happens. And we're not, you know, light things, you know, silly things. But he told us to love, bless, do good, and pray for our enemies, those who curse you, those who use you. Yeah, the only time that guy ever comes around is when he wants something. Huh, he's using you, huh? What do you do? Do good to him. If he's borrowing your hammer, keep lending to him. Buy him a hammer. Here you go, buddy. Watch your own hammer. Comes around, he wants something, give it to him. Love him anyway. So we're talking about not nice people. We're commanded to love, action word, love not nice people, downright wicked people. And we are told to love them. And this word love here means self-sacrificial love. That means that you are giving up everything and anything that has to do with self, that has to do with you, your rights, your feelings, your emotions. It means going out of your way to do good to someone who mistreats you. Now that's Christianity. That's meat. That's maturity. How can we do that? Through Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So there you go. The "you don't know what they did to me" argument, invalid. Jesus knows what they did. Jesus knows your hurt. Jesus knows your pain. And I believe that if you obey His word and forgive and love those and do good for let that sink in. Do good. You got a rotten neighbor? Bake them some cookies. You know, Pastor Lay, you've testified before about someone that was in odds against you and you put vegetables on their porch. What was the result of that?
He came and asked me to pray.
He came, yeah. Reconciliation, it works. Okay? So if there's someone you haven't forgiven, you need to forgive them, and you need to love them, and do good things for them. We have to do it. But I believe if we'll do that, we'll obey His word and forgive, I believe that you will be blessed.
Amen.
It's a hard thing to do, but you'll be blessed. And you have to forgive me for going over, but can I preach the message? I want you to get the word that God gave it to me. I'll do my best, but I want to finish this. I don't want to skip anything. And I want to tell you this morning that, and this is going to be hard for me. Okay, I want to tell you the truth. I'm going to be open and honest with you and transparent with you. When I was writing my notes, when I got to this part, I burst into tears. And I hope I can get through it, you know, and let you know the story. Because I want to share with you that I know what it's like. Okay? Not the little things, the big things. Okay? So pray for me. I hope I can get through it. So I know how, from personal experience, how hard it can be. Now, I've shared this before, and I've had people complain about me giving my testimony before. That's all I got. How many have a testimony? Keep sharing. And I've shared this before. Many of you have heard it, but it bears repeating. When I got saved and was taught, same thing that we're hearing this morning, that I needed to forgive or I couldn't be forgiven, sat right there. Pastor, you were preaching a sermon. I sat right there. No problem. Of course, I was thinking of my dad. My dad was not a nice guy. Not a nice guy. So, no problem, I thought. I forgive him. I didn't want to have anything to do with him because of the wrong he had done to me and my family. I didn't want anything to do with him. But I said in my heart, and I meant it, no problem, Lord. I'm following you now. I got to obey. I want to be forgiven, so I got to forgive. I forgive him. I want nothing to do with him. I might get hurt again. Hear me now. I might get hurt again. No problem, I forgive him, but again, I didn't want to have anything to do with him because everything he'd done to me, my brothers and sisters and my mother, how could I? How could I? How could I have anything to do with this wicked, hateful, abusive man. And if I was still foul-mouthed like before I got saved, I would have had another name or two for him. He was terrible. He was terrible. He was a wicked, wicked, abusive man. Okay? So Pastor Lay's preaching that sermon one Sunday morning. I said, yeah, no problem, I forgive him. And I thought, you know, if I don't forgive, I can't be forgiven. So, okay, Lord, I forgive my father. How many likes it when God speaks to you?
Amen.
Yeah, I love it. And I didn't like it that day. Okay, Lord, I forgive my father. Okay. Then call him. No, Lord. I'm not going to do that. Then you haven't forgiven him. Then you haven't forgiven him, the Lord spoke to me. That afternoon, went home, called my dad. I was reconciled to him. I'm sorry, this is hard. I told him that I forgave him, and I asked him to forgive me. I went to visit him a short time after that, and that was the last time I ever saw him alive. He died a few days later. I am so thankful that God made me do the hard thing. And it was hard. Hated him. Hated him. And by the world standard, I had every reason to hate him. But because of a step of obedience, I love him. I miss him. Because God can change it all.
Amen.
He can make it right. And you know, my mother was not a good parent at all. That's where my background comes from. So now I know why I'm so goofy. And I had to forgive my mother. And I just want to tell you that to this day, as bad as things were, as much abuse and neglect went on, and I'm not going to go into details. You can figure it out. It's pretty standard stuff. You know, with all that stuff now, when I look back on my mom and my dad, I don't even think about those things. All I think is, they're both gone. All I think is, I love my mom. I love my dad. I wish they were still here. You see what God can do?
Amen.
You see what God can do? I'm so thankful that I was reconciled to my dad before he died. I would not want to live with knowing that I disobeyed God and held on to that bitterness, and then it was too late. Man, I can't even imagine. Maybe some of you experienced. I can't even imagine him dying and living the rest of my life thinking, why didn't I listen to God and go and visit my dad? But he changes everything. I hated him. Now I look back and that's my dad. Man, I post pictures of my daddy on Facebook. I love my dad. He's my dad. And you know, down through the years, yeah, that's a whole other story, but down through the years, the Lord has shown me why my dad was the way he was. And you know why? You know how he showed me that? Because I was turning into my dad. Okay? That stuff affects you. And the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And I hated him and I hated me. But then I came to understand why he was the way he was, why he did the things that he did. So I just want to ask, you know, I know I went over, but stick with me. This is important. This is what the Lord wanted you to hear today. And I don't think this was a mistake. I don't think I missed it. I just ask everyone to bow your head and close your eyes. Take the time. You know, we want our movies long, but our sermons short, you know. And we need to give the Lord the Lord's day. Amen. But it's important. God can do something in your life. And I believe God's going to do something in some lives here today. I don't think this was a mistake. I think this was from the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you this morning, what about you? What about you? Do you have unforgiveness in your heart? Has bitterness taken root? Is there someone you need to forgive? Again, I know you've been hurt. I just shared with you a little bit. I know it's hard. It's hard to do. But it's necessary. You have to do it. Don't hold on to that bitterness any longer. You need to confess that sin to the Lord. Ask Him to forgive you. And ask Him to give you strength to do what you need to do. Ask Jesus to help you to love that person. He can do it. He can change it. Ask Him to help you bless that person and to do good things for that person. Even though they have, and maybe still do, the opposite things to you. So every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you this morning, are you here this morning and that sermon reached you, it touched you, it spoke to you? Raise your hand. How many? How many need to forgive? Raise your hand. It spoke to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because God's going to make a difference. It's uncomfortable. It's hard. But it's good. Now, if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to take a step. I'm going to ask you to stand up and come to this altar and make a connection with Jesus and make things right. Come. Come. Everyone that raised your hand, come. Hallelujah, Lord. Now's the time to make things right. Just pray in your own words to the Lord. It's sin. And we need to ask the Lord to forgive us. Make things right with Him right now. This is a turning point. Praise the Lord. This is a turning point. I want to encourage you, if you raised your hand and you didn't come, come to this altar. Just right now, on your own, just make it right. Ask the Lord to forgive you. It's sin. And you want to be forgiven. Ask the Lord to forgive you for that sin of unforgiveness. And make a commitment to the Lord. I will forgive. And that's not it. It doesn't end at this altar. Go and do it. Do it today. Take care of it. If they don't receive it, that's between them and God. But you still love them and do good for them. If they don't want to talk to you, send them a birthday card, send them a letter, do whatever to do good for them. Now again, it's not just a matter of saying, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. He will forgive you. There are people in this altar right now that have asked forgiveness and God has forgiven them. But now you need to go and do. Make that commitment to the Lord. Make things right. And thank Him for forgiving you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, how I love Jesus.